And for the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, and the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. And then he poureth water into a basin, and he began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel there wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew that he should who should betray him, therefore he said, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for I so am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. I speak not of you all, I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled. He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. Father, I pray that you speak to us now through your word and help us to have a humble and loving spirit. And Father, may we see from the character of our Lord how we are to react one to another, and Father, how we are to live our lives. Lord, speak to us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's interesting, this morning Jesus was talking, really one of the last times that he spoke to more than just his immediate disciples, and he talked about the darkness of the world and how that he was the light. He's now going to give a real practical example of the difference of what it is to walk with him and to possess his attitude, his heart, his desires, by setting a practical example. Jesus oftentimes spoke in parables and also used physical examples to help to teach and help his disciples to understand. In other portions of the gospel, we understand that as his disciples were coming to the Passover time and as they had traveled up from the Galilee region to Jerusalem, that they'd been arguing about who was greatest in the kingdom. We looked at that earlier, and also it's in the various Gospels. And also we know that James and John and their mother had conspired together, and somehow they wanted to become sit at the right and the left hand of Jesus, and they wanted to have the positions of honor. And James and John asked him, as well as their mother asked them, if they could do that. And he said, you don't know what you're asking for, because they really didn't. But the thing is, as all of this was going on in the background, and then Jesus this morning, as we saw, was talking about the darkness of this world versus the light that he brought, it's really interesting that John, under God's Holy Spirit direction, places this account right at this time, following that dissertation that Jesus had this morning. The world has an attitude that if you possess power, if you possess intelligence, if you possess position, then everyone needs to kowtow to you. And that you should be the one that's served, and that you should serve no one because you're the important one. Well, what we're going to see this afternoon is that that is not the way of the Lord. And that is the difference between light and darkness in a very practical sense. As Jesus comes with his disciples, and one of the last times they're going to be gathered together, and they're in the upper room, they're getting ready for the Passover meal, and as they have come, as was custom, and we've talked about it before, the custom was that when you came into a home, the lowliest servant would be responsible for meeting you at the door with a basin of water and a towel, and he would wash your feet. Now, why would they wash feet? The reason that they'd wash the feet is they didn't have roads like we've got that are paved and cement. Although the Romans had a few roads that were cobblestones, the majority of the roads would be dirt and gravel. And people wore sandals. And needless to say, when you walked, your feet got dirty. Your feet would be dirty and tired. And as you came in, it was just a hospitality to have a servant there to wash your feet. It was relaxing. It relieved you from the pain of walking, and it made your feet clean. So that was a custom. Evidently, when they gathered together in the room for the meal, nobody had bothered to wash the feet. Now, it's understandable if you stop to think about the disciples' discussion, how that they were determining, well, I'm greater than you. No, I'm greater than you. No, I'm the greatest of all. No, I want the position of honor. And that was the discussion going on, who is greatest in the kingdom, and who will be the greatest in the kingdom to come, and who is the Lord's favorite, and all of those types of things. They're not about to be the guys that would have the attitude to humble themselves, get down, and start washing feet. But that's what Jesus does. There's some denominations. I went to the Church of God out of Anderson, Indiana, and they still practice foot washing. I never partook in it when I was attending. I was in high school. I didn't do it. But it would be very humbling to wash somebody's stinky, dirty feet. They did it to remind them of what Jesus had done here. And to also present an attitude of humility and what our attitude as Christians should be. Well, as Christ does this, he begins, as it says here, that he went and got a basin of water, and he laid aside his garments, and he took a towel and girded himself. And so if you can imagine, he took off his robe that he would have wore when he was teaching and what he would have wore to the temple. He took that off, put a towel around his waist, went down. He kneels down in front of his disciples and takes the basin of water, places in front of them, and begins to wash their feet and to dry them. Again, one needs to understand the implications of this, not only spiritually, but culturally. The master never washed the student's feet. Never. It was never done. And yet you've got Jesus, who not only is their master, but he's their Lord. They've acknowledged that he's the Christ. He's the anointed one, the one that has been promised to come from God. And Peter had even proclaimed him to be that, and Jesus had said that the Lord had revealed that to him. He had also proclaimed on more than one occasion, as we mentioned this morning, that he was equal with God, and so he was God. So he's God, he's their Lord, he's their master, he's the anointed one, he's the Christ, and now he's standing before them washing their feet. You can imagine the horror that was on their faces as they saw this happen. And so he goes around the table and he's washing their feet. And after he poured water in the basin, he began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. And he cometh to Simon Peter. Now, Peter is a very interesting guy because he always tells you exactly what he's thinking. And sometimes he's thinking right things, sometimes he's thinking wrong things. Sometimes Peter totally gets it, and other times Peter doesn't. But guess what? Peter can be a lot like us. And when the Lord comes to him, he's horrified at what Jesus is doing. And so he cometh to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? It would have been a pretty, you could have heard his voice. You got to be kidding me. You're washing my feet? What do you think you're doing? Would be the tone of the question. Lord, thou dost wash my feet? Like, really? You're going to wash my feet? I don't think so, is what Peter is thinking. And Jesus answered him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. He's giving him an object lesson into the kingdom of God. And it's not only what his responsibility is for them, that unless he humbled himself and took on the form of a man and went to the cross to take their sins upon himself, he totally took the position of humility. It's much greater than washing feet to pay the penalty for someone's sin. What a great sacrifice that was for all of us. And they did not fully comprehend, even though he told them on more than one occasion, when they were coming back up to Jerusalem, he told them, I must go because the scribes and the Pharisees, they will abuse me and they will put me to death. And he told them that, but they didn't hear. Evidently, sometimes they had selective hearing too. They didn't want to believe it, and so they didn't believe it. He told them other times what was going to happen, and they didn't hear it. But this is a practical example of what he did in a much greater extent by laying down his life for them. And so he's saying, one day you're going to understand. You don't understand right now, but you will understand. And Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Why? Peter thinks he's being righteous in doing that. Why? Because Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Master. Jesus is the one that's way up here. He's righteous, he's pure, he's holy, and we're sinners. And he's washing our feet. You're never going to wash my feet because you'd be touching the dirtiest part of my body. And you're going to go down and touch my feet and wash them and cleanse them? No way, Lord. You're not going to do it. Well, Peter's not understanding. And Jesus tells him just as much. And so Jesus answered him and said, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Now, in other words, what he's telling him, this is just feet. But if this is your attitude, that you won't allow me to wash your feet, you're also not going to allow me to die on the cross for your sins. Because you're going to say, Lord, no, I won't accept that. Well, Jesus already told the people in his dissertation of light and darkness, if you don't hear my words, I don't come to judge, I come to save, I come to redeem. But if you don't listen to my words, if you don't respond to me, my words shall judge you and condemnation shall fall upon you. And so that's what he's saying to Peter here. If you don't let me wash your feet, if you don't accept what I am doing for you, then you're going to reject my salvation that I'm going to give you, offer you at Calvary, and you will reject that, then you have no part in me. And there's people today that have that attitude. I remember one time when my dad, we were going to church, and it was during the Lord's Supper, and they were passing around the Lord's Supper, and my dad didn't take the Lord's Supper. And so when we went home, I asked him, I said, well, why didn't you take communion? And his response was, I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. Well, none of us are good enough. But the thing is, he was equating that he had to be perfect in order to remember what Jesus had done for him. In other words, he had a faulty understanding of the cross. Yes, none of us are good enough. None of us are good enough to have Jesus wash our feet. Peter wasn't good enough to have Jesus wash his feet. But the point is, Jesus was washing his feet because he wasn't good enough. Because Jesus was righteous, pure, and holy, and could wash his feet. Where the disciples wouldn't wash one another's feet. Just as when we come to partake in the communion service or the Lord's Supper, none of us is good enough to go there, but we're not going there because of our goodness and our righteousness. We're going there to remember what Christ did for us. What did he do for us? He gave us his righteousness. And so we're coming covered by his righteousness, remembering what he's done for us. Likewise, Jesus is bringing the same thought that Peter, no, you're not good enough, but if you don't let me wash your feet, you'll never be a part of me. Because you'll never understand and you'll never receive the gift that I have come to give you. So then Peter, again, being Peter, misunderstands what Jesus is saying again. And he says, okay, Lord, well, if that's the case, then wash my head and wash my my whole body and just wash me off from head to toe and make sure I'm clean and spotless. And again, the whole concept of the foot washing was, number one, an expression of humility, and it was to take care of that which was the problem, the feet. If you're out walking on a road and you weren't out in a sandstorm or you weren't out working in the field, and you came in and your hands were clean and your face was clean and your clothes were clean, but your feet were dirty, what needed to be clean? Not your hands, head, face, and clean. It was just your feet. Jesus is saying you don't need the rest of your Peter to be washed, only your feet. And you need to understand the principle I'm getting here. Once I've cleansed that which is dirty, then it has been cleansed. You are totally clean. In other words, you don't need to go to Jesus and receive the gift of salvation over and over and over and over, but you need to have that cleansed, which is filthy, our sin. And it needs to be removed from our lives. And so we see here that Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus saith unto him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean in every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. Now why is Jesus saying ye are clean, but not all? Because the 11 had followed him. They received him as the Messiah. They believed in who he was. Judas Iscariot did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah. And he did not believe who he claimed to be. And Judas Iscariot would rather walk in darkness than walk in the light of Christ. And so he was prone to receive 30 pieces of silver to betray Christ because 30 pieces of silver meant more to him than Jesus. And he was motivated by Satan and not by God. And the Lord knew this. And so the other 11, they were following Christ because Christ was Christ. It's because of who he was. They believed in him. Judas Iscariot did not. And you see that in little glimpses throughout the Gospels where he's mentioned. For example, where Mary was washing the feet of Christ with the ointment. And he had just horrible words to say. Oh, we could have saved all this money. Why is she doing that? You need to chastise her. Because he had no spiritual desire at all and no spiritual insight at all. The others did. And they longed to serve him and be with him. And Jesus brings us to their attention. Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? Okay? And they're probably thinking, well, you washed our feet. You did what we should have done to one another. You did what a servant should have done, but you've done it. Now he brings home the real point of what is the difference between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light, serving Satan or serving God. He said here, ye call me master and Lord. And you say, well, for so I am. And that's what they called him. They called him master, they called him Lord, they called him rabbi, or Rabboni. And we see that as they did that, he says, that's a proper way of expression to me because I am your Lord. I am your master. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Now what is he showing to them? He's showing to them if you're truly his and he's willing to stoop and humble himself to meet your need where you're at, if we are his followers, we need to possess his character. That's what he's teaching them. Ours needs to be a character of humility, of service, of love, of compassion, and a willingness to look at others as being better than us. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. In other words, Jesus said, I'm not greater than the Father who sent me, and you're not greater than me. But what does it mean? What is greatness? And what is it to be walking in the character of the Lord? If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. In other words, if you understand what humility is, we're not greater than God, but God has sent us. He's called us, he's sent us. We're not greater than him, we're the servant. And if he is so willing to send his son to humble himself, to pay the penalty for our sin, to send us out, how much more should we be willing to serve him and to serve one another and to show forth his love to a world that can't grasp this concept because it is so self-centered and consumed with itself. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. In other words, where we're going to find meaning and purpose to life is in possessing and exhibiting God's character and in showing forth his character in the things that we do in our life. I speak not of all of you all, I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. And again, he refers to Judas Iscariot and that he is going to turn on him, that he has no desire to serve him, but he has chosen the other 11 because their hearts were such they desired to follow him. And he says, now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, you may believe that I am he. And he's telling them about who he is, because we know initially their response. When they see Jesus led away, when they see him beaten, when they see him taken by the Roman soldiers and placed before Pontius Pilate, when they see him mocked and called the King of the Jews, but in a mocking fashion, and then they see him have to drag his cross, and they see him with the other man that helps him lift the cross out there. He takes the cross, and the Roman soldiers nail him to the cross. They put him in the cross, and he's hanging there on the cross. Their immediate response is one of disbelief because they don't understand and they've forgotten his words. But he says, I've told you these things that you may remember them. When he is dead and he's buried, what is their response? It says that they met in an upper room and they were terrified. They were waiting to be hauled away and killed as well. They thought, we're next. And the women went down to anoint his body, but the disciples didn't go first. The women went first. And they found he had risen just as he said he would. And when they went and told it, then they begin to remember and the things begin to come back. When he's walking on the road to Emmaus with the two disciples, it doesn't give us their names. But they don't know who he is immediately, and they're recanting all the events that have transpired during the week of Passover, and how Jesus entered Jerusalem and gloriously, and then at the end of the week he was killed, and he was buried, and there was no hope, and what this one who had seemed to be the Christ, and now he was gone. And all of a sudden it says that Jesus began to open the scriptures to them, and they understood and saw who he was, And what do you think he was talking about in the scriptures? I believe he was taking from the Old Testament prophets and pointing to the fact about that he had to die, that he had to die for their sins, and he had to rise again from the dead to gain victory over sin and death, and that he was the Messiah that had been promised, and because of that he had done that, now they could walk in the power of God because they'd truly been delivered from their sin. And so Jesus is revealing this and telling his disciples, these things are going to happen. I've done this for you so that you can have an object lesson that can be implanted in your mind about how I've come to serve you. And that you need to understand, you need to have the same attitude in serving one another. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me. Okay? Now, why do we say that? Because we're going to get some examples of that relatively quickly after Jesus' death. You have the eunuch who is on his way back to Africa that stops, and Philip shares the gospel with him. The Lord sent him and sent Philip to witness to him. There's one that he's going to send on to them that they're going to be terrified of, and that's the Apostle Paul. But Jesus is sending them to him. And he says, when I send these people to you, you receive them. When people come through this door, we're to receive them and share the gospel with them if they're not believers. And if they're believers, we're to receive them and show them Christ's love. And he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. And so when we receive Jesus, we're brought back into fellowship with God, and we have been restored to him. And so this object lesson that he gave was an object lesson that was very difficult for the disciples initially to respond to, but it was something that we all need to hear, and that is that we are to have a humble spirit, a servant spirit, and if Christ has that attitude, how much more should we? Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand this truth, and Lord, I pray that you would just speak to us, and Lord, I pray that you would help us to have opportunities to have a servant's heart in the week ahead. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen.